Come on in.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are Steel Magnolias. Two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Welcome home, Laura Beth.
Thank you. I came home to cold weather. I went to a warm tropical vacation last week.
I know. You've got a little tan. I'm jealous.
I wish I could bottle this up and keep it all winter long.
I feel a little bit better when I have a little color.
Yes.
It's just my freckles all run together and I just feel tan whether I am or not.
That's true. One big freckle mass.
Well, I read some really good books on my vacation.
Okay.
And so I wanted to mention them here because they both have Southern ties. One is, and neither are new, but one is The Magnolia Story.
Oh, yes.
Which is the story of Chip
Joanna
and Joanna Gaines.
Uh-huh.
And I cheated. I listened to the audio. But
okay.
They read the book. Chip and Joanna read the book.
Oh, no, that's nice.
And so it was really fun to just, I don't know, it's such an inspiring story. So if you haven't read that and you like the show Fixer Upper, you're intrigued by what all's happening down in Waco, Texas.
I tell you, they've rocked Waco with
they
all
have.
Kinds of good commerce,
they
haven't
have.
They?
And the other one you gave me.
I loved this book.
Sisters First is what it's called. It's by Jenna and Barbara Bush.
I haven't read it. I just loved the idea.
I wondered if you had read it.
I haven't read
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pass it back to you because I think you'll really, really love it. And what I didn't realize is, of course, I knew the Bush sisters were twins. I didn't realize they were born a month after me. And so there is
so much overlap of your
so much of my upbringing, while not political, and there's no White House in my family story. There was a story from a Pearl Jam concert.
Oh my goodness.
There was a story about like Limited to clothing, the store Limited to. You know, just funny moments of fashion and different things that definitely were relatable to me. But all the just dynamics of them having like the Secret Service
that would be crazy
in their college years.
Yeah.
So many of us that are, you know, in the post,
like to think about dating with the Secret Service behind you is a whole nother.
Like there's even one story where I think it was Barbara talking about always running out the door late for class on campus. And she resembled her roommate. They both had dark brown hair. And that one day, like, the Secret Service went chasing
Barbara.
Roommate instead of Barbara.
Yeah.
Because they just looked so similar, and they were always rushing out the door to class. Just
even to be her roommate then would have been
I know.
Odd.
Well, yeah. And seeing all the signage on a campus that is always so political in nature, whether you have a family that has a part of the race or not.
Somebody loves your dad. Somebody hates your dad.
Yeah. Anyway, I highly recommend Sisters First, not just for those that have sisters, but just for those that want an interesting read of what it's like to have family in the White House. And of course, they had two experiences, Grandpa and Dad.
And Dad, yeah.
So there was lots about...
and had an uncle that was a governor. I mean, like, just so much tie.
And, and even...
politics. And
it starts way back. So, they're talking about their dad being governor as well, life in the governor's mansion.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Anyway, great read. Loved it.
So both of those were good ones.
And then we started smoking on the green egg today, which was a great Christmas gift that we got. And I say we, I mean my husband and I prayed from the inside. Kitchen window saying, oh, I hope this goes well today because this is our guinea pig moment. And he did great. He smoked just some chicken wings.
Okay.
I thought that would be a safe, easy place
to start.
So
did y'all try them yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
45 minutes. They were done.
Okay.
That's so awesome. Good. Our place smelled like a barbecue joint.
I love smoked food.
Like he was like, smell my hands. They smell so good. They did. They smelled just so smoky fresh.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I love
my gosh.
Okay, so I want to see what mom got him for his birthday.
So there's all the jokes
I've heard about
that
it.
We've heard and seen now because it's a smoker. So it's like, you know, what we smoke in. And the apron that mom got him says, mind if I smoke?
That's and it's so got cute. Like a spatula
that's so
on it.
Cute.
So anyway, but yeah, I'm very excited about green egg smoking.
Good. Well, we'll probably be talking more barbecue now that we've, recipes.
Yeah. And we had a good barbecue episode we've already done, but it's going to be a thread of things I'll be talking about this spring and summer of what we've been smoking at my house.
And there's so much you can do with it. I mean,
yeah,
you can do pizzas in there.
I know.
You can do all kinds of things. So
side dishes. It doesn't even have to be meat.
You know, I smoked mac and cheese and it was glory.
He was like, how do I smoke cheese without it melting?
It melts and then you solidify it again.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So that's how you get like a smoked Gouda? I did not know this.
Yeah.
You're so smart, sister.
Well, I haven't done that, but my friend Mike Best has a small dish that he told me. He will put cheese in, smoke it, and then put it in the refrigerator. And I guess I don't know how all that works.
See, this is a whole new world.
Mike Best is a go-to for smoking. He has like four different kinds.
Well, I can tell. This could be a hobby. So
yes.
It's going to actually have to be a hobby in order for us to do it well. Because it's going to take some time.
Well, as you know, I've had one over a year and I'm just still learning. But I don't do it super frequent.
Well, I think it's just a blessing to have it. So we have a very exciting giveaway that we're launching this week.
Yes.
And so I needed to make sure and mention it here. It's going to be on our Instagram at Steel Magnolias Podcast. I almost revealed who the giveaway is with. Studio 10 here in Franklin, Tennessee is a theatrical performance group that puts on
spectacular performances.
Yes. World
so
class.
Good.
They are going to be doing Steel Magnolias.
Yay!
This February. And so we have two tickets that we will be giving away. So one pair of tickets. We're going to give them away on our Instagram this week. So when you see the post about Steel Magnolias that Studio 10 is doing, make sure and like that and follow the instructions. You're going to have to tag a friend that you want to take to the show with you. And we'll do all the things of like an extra entry if you go and add another friend and all that. So
follow the instructions. It should
be that.
Fairly straightforward. But this is going to be for somebody that can come to Franklin.
Yeah, this is Franklin, Nashville people that can get to the performance here in Franklin. And I have a feeling
unlike
it's going to be very good.
Fathom events, those are nationwide. This one's going to be a local.
Yeah.
Giveaway. Okay.
Cool.
Very exciting. If you haven't seen Steel Magnolias on stage, it is something to see.
It really is.
That's how it was written to be done, was
yes.
on stage. The movie came later, but
yeah,
it's pretty special.
It's in its native form. Well, today we have a very fun topic and an important one.
It is. It has been on my list of possible topics for a long time.
Turning away at our list. We're talking about the mighty Mississippi,
in
the Mississippi River.
Which,
go ahead.
Well, I just love even where the name came from. I was thinking, the Native Americans were here.
Yep.
It was all these Europeans that's tried to name things and take things as their own. But it was the Native Americans that named the river. In their language, it translated to Great River.
Which it is. Yes.
But it was, I think, pronounced Mississippi.
Okay.
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
And
okay.
So that's
okay.
where the name Mississippi came
okay.
from.
One of the hardest state names I remember having to figure out how to spell
yeah.
in elementary school.
Do you remember the
school?
Little catchy M-I, crooked letter I, crooked letter I, humpback I? Did
no!
you ever learn that?
No. I think I learned MISSISSIPPI or something
okay.
like that. I don't know.
Well, however you learned it, it's a long one, but that's how you spell it.
Well, it is long. It's the second longest river in North America, running from, what do we say, Minnesota?
Northern Minnesota all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. That's where it flushes out. So it's 2,318 miles.
Good Lord. Touches how many states?
10 states.
10. Okay.
Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Love it. So if you've read Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer, or Adventures of Huck Finn, you know this river well because this is the setting those books and of those stories and of a lot of stories, honestly.
And even songs, mentioned in a lot of songs.
So many songs. Can I mention a few?
Sure. I was going to ask you, what do you think of when you think of Mississippi River?
I think of kind of Huck Finn, rolled up jeans.
I was going to say, I think of steamboats. And Huck Finn and Sawyer.
Yeah. That's, fishing, handmade rafts, a lot of Huck Finn. So yeah, that has shaped the way we think about that river. And it's important to us in Tennessee, especially because it is our divide of our state. Our whole edging of our state is defined by that river. But John Grisham is an author that he uses the Delta as a backdrop of all of his, well, I say all, I think it's almost all.
He's a Mississippi guy.
Of his suspense novels. And I would say a lot of songs, like you mentioned, of course, Proud Mary. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Tina Turner. Mavis Staples, she's got one that's called In the Mississippi River, and it's very vibey, and I just think it's the sound that you would think of when you think of the Mississippi River. There's this group called the Okie Dokie Brothers that I've been listening to because they have kind of a childlike rhythm to them, although they're not, that's not like the sole purpose, but they have a whole album called Can You Canoe? A Mississippi River Adventure.
Oh,
it's
fun.
So cute.
Oh, wow.
And I think, you know, anyway, it embodies the sound as well.
That, okay.
You know, lots of kind of folk sounding, almost Negro spiritual.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All those sounds, I think, really embody that region and that area. So.
You know, we've talked before on here, our dad is just a wealth of information.
He really
and
is.
He just, when I told him this is what we were going to talk about, starts rattling off all these things about the Mississippi that just, he was saying, you know, it's kind of a trickle to start, but then once other rivers start coming in with the Ohio River, Missouri, Tennessee, like those other rivers coming in, it becomes
That's when it is.
In the southern, it's more probably middle and lower Mississippi. You know, it's often divided upper, middle, and lower Mississippi.
Yeah.
So it's more the middle and lower that start getting really mighty, if you will, from other rivers coming in.
That makes sense.
So Dad was saying, you know, once it's to Paducah, it really starts getting
Paducah, Kentucky.
A lot.
Yeah.
Heavier.
Yeah.
We won't talk about the northern part as much, where it's smaller, but, you know, we've often heard of the twin cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Right.
And I think that's interesting because they're just on either side. It's only the river that
divides
them.
Oh, that's
different
cool.
Cities.
I didn't think about that.
That's kind of cool. But St. Louis is right there on it.
Yes.
And Paducah, Memphis.
Yeah.
Vicksburg, Mississippi,
right.
Natchez, Mississippi. The waterways were very important.
Super important.
For cities to have transportation on the water.
Yeah,
and
that was your potential wealth that was
fishing,
coming and going.
And just all of that. Baton Rouge and New Orleans are both, you know, big ports of moving things.
I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I was going to mention that American Cruise Line, because all of the cities that you just mentioned are part of their, well, not all of the cities, but the southern ones are on the Lower Mississippi River cruise.
I want to do this cruise. They need to have us on.
They sail from Memphis, Tennessee, and they go down to New Orleans, and they have carefully selected onboard experts that bring the history and culture of the region to life, you know, on ship. And then they have these port of calls where you're getting off the boat and spending time.
And there's some good, I've wanted to see Natchez and Vicksburg.
Yeah, that's both on the list, as well as St. Franceville.
Okay.
That's in Louisiana, and then on to Baton Rouge, Oak Valley, Louisiana, and then on to New Orleans.
Okay.
But they have, you know, entertainers on board that are going to bring in all of that
regional music
and the Cajun sound. And in the evenings, you know, of course, you can relax on your balcony and enjoy the rolling, I would say, river views, because this would go at a snail's pace. Yeah, like this cruise isn't covering ground. Sure. So you would really get to enjoy from a balcony view.
That would be so
the
cool.
landscape.
I want to do that at some point.
But yeah, I mean, they take you on historic home tours and just all different things while you're at port as well. So cool.
I wanted to mention, I watched a little 8-minute video that had been on CBS News with Mo Rocca.
Yeah.
Was the person who did the interview and of various people.
Yeah.
And he started at in Minnesota at the top.
Okay.
And then interviewed some people in different cities down.
Oh, cool.
Just again, it's an 8-minute thing, not super long. One thing that I just thought this was kind of cool. He interviewed this lady in Minnesota that is the head naturalist at this state park there where the river begins. And she had him walk from the east side to the west side, which right there, it's such a...
Right.
I mean, it was just a matter of, you know, yards.
Yeah.
From one side to the other. She said, I want you to walk from the east to the west and you're supposed to make a wish.
Okay.
And I just think this was cute. She said, the wish will come true in 90 days because this water will be at the Gulf of Mexico in 90 days.
Fun.
And I just thought, well, that's kind of cute, isn't it? That very water will then be there.
And that they even know.
Kind of like... You know, little magical
things
power.
To fruition. That's
even
crazy.
Though
that's so crazy.
Silly. I just
that
thought
they
that
know
was
that.
Cute. But anyway, it's a neat little interview,
little documentary,
with him talking
to
different people and lots of things I could mention out of that. But one of which I didn't want to pass up. It's such a small world. Sometimes
that's
you
true.
See little things and it's just like what? When he got to Natchez, Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
They're mentioning the importance of just agriculture that goes up and down that river, which I'm going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But when cotton was king, Natchez was some of the biggest cotton farms, and they're sending their cotton up to the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of wealth in that area and really fine homes that you can tour.
Oh, I bet.
And he's... with this guy named Scott Smith, who does tours in Natchez, Mississippi, that I went to high school with. And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
That's amazing.
He goes by the name Jimmy the Cricket.
That's
when he
so
does
cute.
His tours.
So if listeners want to go on a tour in
Natchez,
they should look
up Jimmy the Cricket. He can set you up. And he's a wonderful guy. And I just thought that was so funny. I'm like, what are the chances in an 8-minute video?
That's crazy.
About the Mississippi.
On CBS.
There's a guy that I went to high school with. Anyhow, let's
That's
keep
awesome.
Talking about
Well, just real broadly.
Impact of the
yeah, I was going to say, just broad strokes. The Mississippi River would be important because of electricity and water that it provides to a huge region.
Portion of this country.
Huge.
Whether it touches your state or not.
Travel in the Southeast, like we've just already mentioned.
Yeah.
Both by necessity back in the day, and then, of course, just for leisure today. Trade, transportation, and then my fourth one's kind of a funny one. Catfish.
Hey!
It gives us catfish, and the majority of the United States farm-raised catfish comes from Mississippi's catfish farms.
How
so
funny.
If you're a catfish lover...
Then you better love the Mississippi.
Then it's very important to you.
Well, listen to some of these things that I came across. So there's like just a procession of barges now, up and down, up and down, up and down.
That's crazy.
Okay? With corn, rice, soybean, wheat, oil, gas, and coal.
Wow.
That's some of the major things that are going up and down.
That's like almost everything we
it's
need.
Important things.
Yeah.
60% of the nation's grain goes up and down the Mississippi.
Wow.
20% of the nation's coal. Like, this is important.
Interesting.
And I just had no idea of that huge of an impact.
Right. Yeah.
And then another thing I thought was super fascinating, I don't pretend to be an expert on talking about any of this, but do you know the terminology of watershed, as in like not just the areas that are literally affected with the water, but like you know, other water sources that go out from it that go there. Yeah. That's in the watershed.
Yeah.
It's the third largest watershed in the world.
Whoa.
Of course, I've already mentioned Arkansas, Ohio, Missouri, and Tennessee rivers flow in. And then think about there's tributaries off of that.
Everywhere.
Like, all kinds of things that are coming off of that. But just, it affects 40% of the country.
Wow.
In that watershed.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That is amazing.
So whether or not you realize, it's likely that it's affecting, it's touching you in some way.
Right. So the thing that I'm trying to get my head around with, you're saying like a parade of barges, is how does the river handle that?
Right.
Like, is it doing okay?
That's a great question.
Right?
So one of the things that I read about a little bit about, and again, don't, it's the, that our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Mississippi is one of, is a main thing that they, one of the major things they focus on trying to, as best they can, manipulate to keep it.
Right. Oh, okay.
Moving well.
Yeah.
And
like, do they have to maybe even like dig?
Move
like
sediment?
To make it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They have to,
okay.
Because they have to keep it deep enough.
Right.
I think that something that I was listening to or read said that they, in those, you know, those barges, it has to be, I think it was 45 feet deep.
Okay.
So, you know, there's always sediment moving and things like that. So they have to, do quite
That's
a bit
crazy.
To make sure that, it's deep enough and safe enough.
Right.
I mean,
That would be horrible if a barge got stuck.
They literally look at two seasons, high season, high water season and low water season.
Okay.
That's kind of how they look at everything's through that. But yeah, sometimes they have to, do flood control.
Wow.
Build levees. They have had to do, you know, build a lot of levees and just things like that.
Wow.
Keep things and it's particularly in South Louisiana, there's a lot happening of losing land.
Losing it to the river?
To just different shifts that are happening.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain all that.
Okay.
I don't understand all of that. But there's different reasons why things shift.
Yeah.
And so that they are doing a lot of work around trying to keep things safe and moving well.
Yeah. Well, okay, so speaking of shifts, we do have to mention there was a historical moment that was a major shift in 1812.
Okay.
Where the most, you know what I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
So this was the most violent of a series of earthquakes near Missouri, and it caused like a tsunami in the Mississippi River, actually making the river run backwards for several hours. I can't get my head around a river running backwards.
I know.
But it did. And this, like, series of tremors that happened between, they think, December 1811 to March 1812, they were the most powerful in the history of the United States, this series of tremors.
Okay.
So it led to the creation of Real Foot Lake here in Northwest Tennessee. So maybe you've heard of Real Foot Lake, maybe you haven't, but I don't know if most people realize that it was like created by this depression that the river water rushing in to fill, happened. And it's just interesting because you can go there, you can visit. It's a, it's like a state park now, and it's just 5 feet deep, but it's full of cypress trees. And they're, you know, they're
very unique looking.
Their roots intertwine underwater. You know, so there's like fish that live there and, the lake and surrounding area, it's, you know, it's like a wooded area. Like I said, it's been set aside as a state park, but there's like a wildlife refuge, with all of this like fish and fowl in the area. So it's really a pretty place to visit, but it was created by
That's
this
so funny.
Series of tremors and this earthquake. So anyway,
it made its own lake.
It looks man-made, but it's not.
That is wild. Yeah.
So
nature is just a force to be reckoned with. I was thinking about that with all the things we do to try to keep water, you know, contained and safe. And we build these levees and we dams and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But nature is its own force to
be
reckoned with. And water is quite the force.
Yeah.
So anyway, but it's a vital, that Mississippi River is such a vital natural resource.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you're saying, with birds and
catfish.
Fish and all of this kind of thing. Like, it's pretty amazing. A couple of other things I read about, 1/4 of the freshwater species make their home in the Mississippi for our country.
Wow. That's crazy too.
And 40%, the Mississippi River attracts 40% of all the migrating birds.
Wow.
That's just significant.
Yeah. There are, events that happen on the Mississippi River, some fun ones that I wanted to mention,
because
we've said the word levee a couple
events.
Yeah, no, we love to travel, we love events, but you've said the word levee a couple of times, so that's real in terms of those that live near large bodies of water like this. So there's a Living on the Levee annual celebration of Delta food, music, and culture, which is held in West Memphis, Arkansas.
Okay.
So I'm not talking about Memphis, Tennessee. It's Arkansas. West Memphis, Arkansas. There is an annual crawfish festival, which is held in Dermot, Arkansas.
Okay.
And then in, I don't know how to say it, maybe Eudora.
Uh-huh.
Eudora, Arkansas. That is the catfish capital of Arkansas, and they have an annual festival as well. So those are just a few of the definitely Mississippi River events.
Well, we've talked about the Mississippi Delta and the music that came out of that. That delta was formed by sediment from this river. Like, you know, as we were talking about sediment, I was thinking of things shifting and moving, and that's what a lot of that comes from.
Culture, was formed from a river.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one
crazy.
Of my favorite parts, or great things I'm grateful for about the Mississippi River, is where it flushes out down into the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
And you have that freshwater and saltwater collide.
Yes, that's true.
That's where we get so much oysters, shellfish, crab, shrimp, all that.
All the Cajun
wonderful
goodness.
Wonderful glory that you have in New Orleans. That's why their food's so stinking good.
It's because they have two water sources coming together.
Collide of the fresh
that's
and
so
salt water.
I never even thought
and
about
that's
that.
A big part of our culture in the South, too.
It sure is. Well, yeah, I mean, New Orleans food is always on food lists, so you don't have to argue much with that. That's real.
Yeah. Good old po' boys full of, now we're talking.
Okay, so describe for people, how would you describe a po' boy if somebody's never had one of those? It's a hoagie sandwich.
Like an open hoagie.
Open face.
And it's often filled with seafood. Like you can get like shrimp po' boy.
Yes.
Or a crawfish po' boy or something where they're filling it with, and it's usually a lot. Like it's not
like overflowing.
These skimpy little three shrimp entrees that I've gotten in restaurants.
Yeah.
It's like a lot.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that they would typically put on them, but that's mostly it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably served
so
with
good.
Some sort of good slaw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
lots of good food to be had.
Once again, we're making
coast.
Ourselves hungry.
That's right. But you know, there's seriously though, down in Louisiana in that part, there's a good bit that needs to happen to preserve a lot of. There's a lot of preservation that needs help down there.
Yeah.
If you live in that area or just want to sow money into that, you know, there's marsh that needs to be planted to try and. Again, you know, with erosion and sediment moving, like there's things that can be planted to kind of help solidify.
But it takes work.
It's
so weird to think of controlling it. But now that we're talking about some of this, I see the reasons
why. So that things
why.
Don't just wash away.
Exactly.
You have to have some help.
So that we use the land that we've been given. I mean, because we could just walk away from it, but that would sort of be...
And lose what we've had in the past, and you want to tend the land well.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just wanted to mention that in those wetlands, there's a lot that kind of needs help in.
Yeah. No, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Planting and stuff like that.
I even read that in the 1920s, water skiing was invented on the Mississippi River.
Seriously?
I mean, I wonder if that's true. I don't know exactly how it came about. I don't know sort of the progress of who put the skis on and how they decided to do that. But that's a little fun fact.
Oh, I had a funny conversation this week. Like, that just, I want to make sure I mention this because it just flowed in natural conversation and it got me thinking, oh, that's something people say. I was asking a friend whose son is about to graduate from college. I said, is he going to want to move back here? Yeah. Or, you know, do you know where he wants to live? And she said, well, I think he's trying to be pretty open, you know, to where he gets a job. But I think he does want to be east of the Mississippi.
Oh, that's funny. Like, that was her landmark.
Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, yeah.
People say that, I guess.
That is kind of a divide where people will say, like, oh, I've never been west of the Mississippi, or... Like, that's a way people describe things.
Right.
And I was thinking, oh, there's that impactful river.
For all of us inland people, because, you know, you could say East Coast or West Coast, but what do we do with all of the inland states here that are more landlocked?
So that's so funny. That was interesting, because I don't know if I've said that or not, but I've definitely heard it a good bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you knew exactly what she meant.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'll be talking about the Mississippi River just this very week. I just thought of another movie that was really good that I liked that was a Matthew McConaughey movie that was on the Mississippi. It was called Mud.
Oh, did you ever I haven't seen it.
It's good. Okay. So he is like a, I don't know what you would call river people, but he lives on the river in this like kind of hut that he made. And
well, you know, Mud is, that's part of like they, another thing you'll hear people say, like, I think about the dessert, the Mississippi mud pie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it...
It looks like mud.
It's mud. You know, like, there is mud.
It looks like layers, too.
And there's a lot.
Yeah.
Mud like, Island and...
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. So they're proud of their mud.
Anyway, it's... There again, that sediment that we have to... It's just part of the river.
Yeah. Part of the riverbed. Well, I think that's all I had to say about it. Like I said, I mean, I think it's going to continue to be a nice backdrop for stories that we're going to continue to see movies and songs. And because it's definitely a part of, like we said, a lot of states.
Yeah. So 10 states touch it, but it is affecting so much of our movement of resources and commerce and.
Yeah.
Also travel.
Yeah.
You know, just, yeah, there's just a lot. There's actually a documentary. This man who makes St. Louis is his home. His name was Eddie Harris. He has canoed the entire Mississippi River twice.
Stop.
In a canoe. I
can't
imagine.
That sounds so scary.
So the first time he was 29.
Okay.
And then 30 years later, so I'm assuming 59, he did it again in order to make a documentary that's called River to the Heart.
Okay.
And he's a black man, and I feel like he touches, just, I watched a trailer.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't pretend to know about the whole movie. But it looks like that he touches on even some of the, you know, racial issues and changes for the good in our country.
All right.
And just some different things like that. But anyway.
What's it called?
River to the Heart.
Ooh, I want to watch that.
So,
that sounds good.
Yeah, he's canoed it twice.
He really did it. So that reminds me of another book by, there's a Southern author named Lee Smith, and she wrote a book called The Last Girls, and it was about a girls like rafting team.
Oh.
But this was fictional.
Okay.
So he really did do it.
He really has done it in
but
a canoe.
It's their story, and they have a reunion.
Okay.
It's like they're going to raft it again 20 years later.
Okay. The Mississippi?
Yes.
The actual Mississippi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I was thinking I wouldn't mind canoeing the Minnesota part that I saw in that little documentary, but when we start getting into some...
Where it's more of a
deep
stream.
And rushing.
The Mississippi stream.
I'm out.
Yeah. When there's actual rapids to be seen. Yeah. Those are for barges.
Yeah.
That sounds
well, great. And I even thought about that. Like, if your barges make wake.
Absolutely.
If you're in a canoe.
Yeah.
I mean.
So, yeah, because there's not like he could time it where he knows there's not going to be barges. They're going to be coming all the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Good for him. Brave man.
So, I wouldn't mind checking that out, too.
Sounds good.
To the heart. All right. Well, that was fun.
That was a good little 101 on the Mississippi and all its impact is making in the South. So we hope that you guys have got your 2020 off to a good start. We're excited about this year. We got all kinds of fun topics to dive into. So, again, if you're not already following us on Instagram, go do that at Steel Magnolias Podcast. And if you haven't recently left us a 5-star review, do that on Apple Podcasts. We would so appreciate it.
Yeah, that helps us. So we would really appreciate that.
All right. Two Southern Sisters signing off.
Signing off. Have a good week.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.